24th is our Christmas Eve candlelight carol service at 7 o'clock. And December 30th is the 5th Advent, the worship team will be taking that service, and I will be presenting the message. A big thank you to everybody who generously donated to our white gift and our brown gift. The needy of our area will appreciate your kindness. And I have one important announcement to parents of young children. We would ask that you please don't let the children go downstairs today, because the basement is all set up for these hampers, and there are tables and tables full of food, and it's quite a little thing down there right now. So if you could please make sure that your children don't play downstairs this Sunday. Are there any other announcements this morning? Okay, thank you.
We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Thank you. Welcome Susan up to lead us in our approach hymn, I think it is. Thank you.
Good morning. Mom and I were discussing what to do for choruses this week, and it's a busy time of year for everyone. So rather than prepare new stuff or do a whole bunch of even old stuff, we chose to do a hymn. And it's called While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. And this hymn tells the entire Christmas story in 5 verses. So we'll sing the entire hymn this morning. Please join us.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and gathered on around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. Who you in David's town this day is born of David's line, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign, and this shall be the sign. A heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands,
How many of you were surprised by that tune? Grant, can you put the first and last verse up again? And Peggy, can you find the old tune to While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night? Can we sing it without music? Come on, Kathy. sing it without music. We'll sing the first and last verse to the old tune that we all used to sing in school. And we're singing it unaccompanied.
Some of us used to sing it anyway.
So take us away.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around.
Got a key there, Mom?
All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Good will henceforth from him to men begin and never cease.
Well done. Now then, last week I mentioned to you that we had a gift handed in with our white gifts, nicely wrapped, and it said to Blake from Crossfield Sander. We still haven't found out who Blake is, and there's someone in Crossfield searching for this or hoping to receive this. Anybody know anything? This is for Blake, and it's from Crossfield Sander. If your name is Blake, put your hand up. No? Okay. We'll keep it. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us this joy, this privilege of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And in this blessed time of Advent, Lord, we pray that you will guide us and inspire us and show us how you would have us to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ once again into our lives and into our hearts. We ask you, Father, in this time of worship to open our hearts, to open our minds, that each of us may hear your voice. And we ask you, Holy Father, to accept the praise we bring. For we come and we worship you in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So now we come to the lighting of the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. And as Chelsea and her family come on up here and they prepare themselves, we will remain seated and we will sing the first verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Today is the third Advent of joy.
Okay, enough.
Our joy is God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Like peace, joy is a gift from God. It overtakes us and fills us. We remember what God has done and what He has promised to do.
We light this candle today to remind us that Christ came and that is coming, so that all people might have a rich and abundant life. We thank God for the hope that he gives us, for the peace he bestows, and for the joy he pours into our hearts. Okay. Okay, guys. Let us pray. O God of joy, Emmanuel, send your light into our hearts at this time. Help us to be ready for the time of Christ's appearing. Fix our hearts and our minds upon those things you have done and those you have promised to do, that we may have joy that you have promised, that we may have the joy that you have promised. As we worship you, strengthen us that we may also do your will and so bless you and the world that you have made. In Jesus' name, amen. So, at this time, we'll sing the third verse of A Candle is Burning, and everybody can stay seated.
Thanks to Chelsea and family, and I'm not sure, but I suspect that may have been Gus's first public performance, eh? What a good job he did. Well done, Gus.
And you're back to sound.
Please join me now for our responsive reading from Isaiah 12. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Yeah, you do it. You do it. You'll never guess who's doing our special music this morning. It's great for us to have Claire. Claire, who is part of our church family, has grown up in our church family, blossomed into a beautiful young lady, and a pretty good singer as well. So I think Claire's going to sing for us Mary's Boy Child?
Yeah.
Excellent, thank you.
Time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new kings born today. They saw a bright new shining star and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new kings born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Now Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. They found no place to bear her child, not a single room was in sight. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark Mary's little boy child was born. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
What I didn't tell you is that Claire's suffering from an awful cold and sore throat. Would you have thought it? What a great job. Thank you, Claire. That was excellent. And thank you, Laurie, for that beautiful accompaniment. We appreciate it so much. Good job. You noticed it was our father who led the applause there. That's great. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts. We ask you to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Who has a Christmas tree at home? Yep. Lots of people. Anybody out there got a Christmas tree at home? Yep. One or two? Yep. Yep. Christmas tree? Your Christmas tree at home, does it have any gifts underneath it?
Not yet.
Yours has gifts underneath it? Not yet, but hopefully soon. Yep. Yep. Well, people put gifts under the tree. And I heard a story about one boy who used to check underneath their Christmas tree every day. And what do you think he was checking for?
Presents.
Who for?
Him.
That's right. He used to go there every day and he would check the presents and see if any had his name on it. And each day when he went, he checked again and then he started to sort them into groups so that they had his name on and they had his sister Katie's name on and they had Dad's name on, and they had Mum's name on, and he separated them out. And one day he went, and he checked them, and he counted them, and his sister Katie had more gifts than he had. And he was mad. And you know what he did? He ran into the kitchen where his mum was making something nice to eat, and he said, "Mum, Katie's got more presents than I have. It's not fair." And he ran upstairs to his bedroom, and what do you think he did with the door? He slammed the door, and he sat in his room, and he pouted. Who knows how to pout? Come on, let me see. Get up on the platform, we'll have a pouting competition. Everybody up on the platform, let's see who's got the best pout. What? Think, imagine you're not getting any presents under the tree. That'll teach you how to pout. Are you guys not in it? Not in the competition? Are you guys all going to pout? Right, let's see some good pouts. Oh, that's a good one back there. That's a great one. Oh, that's a good one. That's a great one. And some people pout so much over gifts that they lose the joy of Christmas. And the real joy of Christmas is not in how many gifts you get, but in how much that you get that you share with other people. I'm going to show you a picture of a pouting baby. This is a good pout. Have a look at this one. That's a great one, isn't it? That's how to pout. That's how to pout. Now, during Advent, which is this time leading up to Christmas, we always read in the scriptures about John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist taught people to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when they said to him, "Well, what do you want us to do?" And you know what he told them to do? He said, "If you've got two coats, keep one.
Give one away."
And he says, "If you've got lots of food to eat, and there are people around who have nothing to eat, you eat some and share it with other people." And John is teaching us that if we want to experience the real joy of Christmas, we've got to learn to do the same. We've got to share what God has given to us,
with those people who have less than we have. And that is the real and secret of the joy of Christmas, which is what we celebrate today as we light this candle of joy. So shall we just say a little prayer together right now? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of joy. And we pray that you will help us to share all of the joy that you give to us with those people, with all people whom we meet, especially those who do not seem joyful at all. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Time for Sunday school, I believe.
We will stand and we will sing to the glory of God, verses 1, 3 and 4 of hymn 132, Angels We Have Heard on High. That up. Bet you thought that was me singing, did you? Thank you, Kathy. To lead us into our time of prayer, I'm just going to read a verse of scripture for you. It's taken from Romans chapter 8 and it's verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And I read that verse quite deliberately because it tells us that so very often we have things sitting in our hearts, on our minds, and we're not quite sure how to put them into words. We want to pray to God about them, and we know God cares about them, but we just don't know how to word it. And that's what that verse is about. That's the reassurance that the Spirit takes the prayers of our hearts, and in our tumbling and grumbling methods of trying to put our thoughts into eloquent words, we needn't worry. And I say that because I know all of us have sitting on our hearts that incident that took place at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. And children, 20 children ages 6 and 7 killed, and adults killed. And it takes us back to the time when Jesus was born, and King Herod had all of the children under the age of 2 killed, and God cares. And we don't know how to phrase it. We don't know how to put our feelings and the thoughts and the prayers of our hearts into words. And that reassurance from the Scriptures tells us that we needn't worry about it, because God knows. And God can see inside of our hearts, and He knows what's there. And we are thankful for that. Not just in this situation, but in many situations. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we come once again before you with thanksgiving and praise. We worship and adore you, Lord. We bow before the majesty of your most holy name. Lord and giver of life, when you came to this earth all those years ago, you came to the lowliest, the neediest, and the weakest. And this holy season affirms this and calls us to share our joy, to share all that we have as we celebrate. Your coming, Lord, is such an advent that earth cannot contain the glory of it, the wonder of it, but the multitude of the heavenly hosts sing out and rejoice. Something has happened that touches every home where we display some symbol of your coming, a candle, a star, a wreath, bright lights, a manger scene. We praise you, Lord, as you come to all of our homes, and we pray that your shining light of truth may break through our festivities and into our lives and into our hearts. We pray as that little hymn teaches, Lord, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you. We praise you, Father, for coming to us now in words, in music, in song, and in our fellowship of this time and in this place. Your holy presence lifts us and inspires us, and your Spirit renews our spirits and refreshes and energizes us for the new challenges of the week before us. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to help us to turn away for a few moments from the excessive commercialism and see again the real truth of that beautiful and glowing star, leading us, Lord, to where you can be found. It's so easy, Lord, to be swept along with the crowds, in the hustle and the bustle of the shopping and the preparing. Help us, Father, to find a few moments to reflect on the manger scene and to listen to your voice. For many people, Lord, the week ahead will be a tough week. We think of those who suffer, those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those who suffer separation from family and friends, those who fear this coming season because of loneliness, because of other problems. And we think of those families, Lord, who have lost children, who have lost mothers, sisters, friends, How can we put our thoughts into words, Lord? We are thankful that you see the prayers of our hearts, that your wonderful Spirit conveys these prayers, Lord, and brings them straight to your throne of grace. We ask you, Father, to hear our prayers. We pray in silence for those in our hearts at this time. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves. You know each and every one of us. You know all about our lives. You know our ups and you know our downs. And most of all, Heavenly Father, you know our needs. You know what is in our hearts and you know what our motivations are. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to meet our needs and to change our hearts, that we might live the lives that you want us to live. Gracious Father, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we listen now to the word of the Lord. Where is my elder? Oh, is Lita coming to read? Splendid. Thank you.
From Luke 3:7-18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with one of these who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?"
It's on the button.
Sorry. "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. From Philippians 4:4-7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Thank you. Big thank you to Leda for those readings from the Holy Scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing once again to the glory of God the hymn 128, verses 1, 2, and 4, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading for today, for the third Sunday of Advent, again, is from the narrative of John the Baptist. And if it had been John the Baptist standing here this morning and not me, the words you would have heard probably would have been, "Listen up, you bunch of lizards, and repent." That's the way John the Baptist would have put it. It seems quite plain that John the Baptist was not of the Dale Carnegie School of Charm, reading How to Make Friends and Influence People. But he did make friends and influence people. People, we are told, flocked to hear this man who called them a brood of vipers. And they came in their hundreds and thousands out into the wilderness. Why? Author Walter Brueggemann called John the Baptist Checkpoint John. Checkpoint John. And he is referring to the infamous crossing in Berlin during the Cold War between East and West Berlin, between godless communism and glorious freedom. Checkpoint Charlie was that point that people had to get through to pass from one to the other. And Walter Brueggemann visualizes John the Baptist as standing on the border, if you like, between the Old and the New Testaments, checking passports. His demeanour is not unlike those border patrol guards at Checkpoint Charlie, says Brueggemann as he talks about John the Baptist. He's rude, he's deliberately intimidating, He's mostly silent and glaring. And look at the way he was dressed. And Checkpoint John, that's a good image for John the Baptist. And each Advent season, we encounter this rough-hewn preacher standing at the entrance of the Christmas season. And in order to get to Christmas, the real Christmas, we've got to get through Checkpoint John, John the Baptist. So why did all of these people walk right out into the desert, into the wilderness, to hear this man preach? Was this good news that John was offering? What exactly was it that drew the multitudes to hear him? Because we read that they all came. Priests, Pharisees, soldiers, tax collectors, ordinary folks like you and I, they all came, and they all came and got baptized. The preacher stood at the door, following the service as people were leaving. But she just stood there with a frown on her face. What did she want, the pastor thought? What was the problem? This is what we preachers do when we stand at the door. And he thought to himself, sermon seemed to go okay. I don't think I said anything controversial. And then she spoke. And she said, Pastor, I wanted to ask you a question for some time. And then more people filed out. And his mind was racing. What could it be? She seems to be quite a fairly regular attender. And then she spoke again. And she said, I've heard you preach lots of interesting sermons. And I've learned lots of things about the Bible that I never knew before. But I need to ask you a question that has nagged at the back of my mind. And the minister drew her aside and he says, what is it? And she says, why don't you tell me what you want me to do? Why don't you tell me what you want me to do? I wonder how many of us here today have at some time asked the same question. What do you want me to do? I'm sitting in church and I'm listening to all this preaching and it's great, but what do you want me to do? And that is the same question that those crowds came to John the Baptist, and that's the same question that they asked him. And the words that John spoke when he replied were powerful words, words that have stood the test of time over the years. They are important words, and they help us to prepare for this important season of the year. And John's first word, and his important word, is repent. Repent. And he delivered that word, of course, along with these other words, where he says, you brood of vipers. Repent, you brood of vipers. But it was a message of hope. Repent. You know, repent is one of the best words in the language, in the English language, one of the best words that we've got. Because the opportunity to repent is an amazing gift from God. By repenting, by repentance, we can do something about the course that we have taken in life, or in any given situation that we find ourselves in. If we are able to repent, we can change. We can start again. We can start afresh. We can fix what is wrong. We can have that fresh start. If we're on the wrong track, we can get back on course. You just think about it. If we lived in a world where there was no chance to repent, we would be living in hell. Because that is where there is no repentance. When we reach that stage, if we are in hell, then that is it. There is no way out. No chance to get rid of the garbage in our lives and start again. And when we do not repent, when we continue to live a life of sin, a life of selfishness, we are condemning ourselves to a life of living hell. Now, every life accumulates a certain amount of rubbish. No matter how earnestly and thoughtfully we live, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And sometimes we outright sin. And in time, our sins and our stupidities and our poor choices, they can become like a mountain around us. And we spend endless waking hours, miserable and in a state of regret. Regret leads us nowhere unless it is coupled with repentance. If regret comes repentance, then it means something. We're going somewhere. Repentance is a gift of God, a wholesome way to look the past straight in the eye, to confess it for what it is, and leave it behind and move on to a new and a fresh start. That's why John says repent, because it is the way to joy. It is the way to a good life. And maybe, just maybe, that is why so many people were drawn to listen to John the Baptist. He spoke harsh, incisive words. His preaching gave them hope. It gave them hope for something better, a release from the bondage that had enslaved them. And you know, the message hasn't changed. It stays the same. God, the message of God stands forever. And John's words ring throughout the ages. Repent. And they said to John, well, what shall we do? What shall we do then? And in verse 8, John tells the people, he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Put it another way, do something to show that you have really given up your sinful way of life. Do something to show that. I'm going to tell you a story here, and I have told you it before, okay? So you know what the ending is. I'll just give you the beginning. It's a story about a bicycle race, an unusual bicycle race that took place in India. And this race had a very unusual objective, and it was this. The objective of this race was to travel the shortest possible distance in a specified space of time on a bike. So at the start of the race, everyone is queued up at the line. The pistol goes, the starting pistol, and they're off. And all the bicycles, all the riders, as best as they can, go nowhere. They try to stay absolutely still. If you tipped over, you were out. If you put your foot down, you were disqualified. And so they would inch forward just enough, just a tiny little bit at the time, to keep their bike balanced, to keep themselves upright. And when the specified time was up, the gun sounded, and the person who was still the nearest to the start line was the winner. What a great race! What a great race! Now, this style of race has been duplicated since then, obviously, in other parts of the world. But I want you to imagine, try to imagine that you were entering such a race, but all you knew was that it was a bike race, and you didn't know and you didn't understand what the rules were or what the objective of the race was, okay? So you're at the start line, and you're on your bike, and the pistol goes, and you think, hey, this is a race. And if it's a race, you've got to win, right? You've got to win. So the pistol goes, and whoa, off you go. And you're pedaling like fury. You're riding like anything, hard and fast as you can. And as you glance behind you, you are delighted to see that you've left the others back at the starting line. And you think, great, and you pedal even harder. This is fantastic. I'm going to break some kind of a record here. Wow! And you push even harder, stronger and faster. And then you hear the gun go, which ends the race. And you know unquestionably that you are the winner. No doubt about it. Except, in reality, you are unquestionably the big time loser. You are the loser. You lost the race because you misunderstood how the race was run. And sadly, all the time you were in this race, you really believed that you were winning. You were a winner. And this is John the Baptist's message. This is his message in Advent. To the Jews, he says, just because Abraham is your father doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. And that's what the Jews believed. They believed because they were Jews, they were God's chosen race, and they were all going to heaven. It's like you or I saying, because I go to church on a Sunday, I'm going to heaven. It ain't necessarily so. It's not necessarily so. And so these Jews who were there turn to John the Baptist and they say, what shall we do then? What shall we do then? And John's practical answer to all people who ask this question is, share what you have with those who have not. Be honest and fair in your dealings with people. Do not abuse the power that you have. And we all have power. We all have a degree of power. Do not abuse it. And through God's holy word, all these years after John the Baptist, he speaks to all of us today these relevant words of John the Baptist, and he says, repent. God is saying something to you right now. What is he saying to you? What is he saying? When John says, you bunch of vipers, he is speaking to the inner person. That is the part of us that is consumed by a be a winner at all costs philosophy of life. And it's inside of us to win, to beat everyone else. And John says, don't misunderstand the rules of the race. Because you may think that you are winning, but hey, maybe you are not. Don't wait until the race is over to discover this. And he strongly emphasizes this fact and he says, get ready now. Prepare yourself now for the coming of the Messiah. Get ready now. Christ is coming, he says, get ready. And we say, but what should we do then? What should we do? And John says, be fair. Be honest. Do not cheat. Do not steal. Do not abuse your power. And learn to share what you have got with those who have not. These things, say John, are what true repentance look like. This is what repentance looks like. Do something to show that you have changed your ways. Love God. Love your neighbor. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing our closing hymns. We start with hymn 143, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
Lord of all, Christ the babe is Lord.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.
Oh.